CBSI and the world. I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues, Hussein Haqqani of the Hudson Institute and Bill Raggio of the Long War Journal at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. Bill, I begin with a KIA of ISIS. Very little is known, you tell me. What do we know?
Yes, John, over the weekend, the Taliban, it's what they call their special forces. We documented their training of these groups. A lot of them are part of the Haqqani Network, a key group of the Taliban. They killed a Islamic State of, they call him, the Taliban are calling him a key leader. He was basically supposedly the leader for the Islamic State in a district called Achin, which is right on the border of Pakistan in Nangarhar province in Afghanistan. His name is Zakirullah. He's also known as Abu Sher. That's all the information we have on him, John. Of course, the Islamic State and the Taliban, they're bitter enemies over the Taliban doesn't play ball the way the Islamic State wants them to. They won't swear allegiance to the Taliban's emir. The Taliban is in the Al-Qaeda camp. So there's, you know, a couple thousand fighters or more from the Islamic State's Khorasan province that operates in Afghanistan, as well as Pakistan and Central Asia and India. Afghanistan is a key node for the Islamic State, Khorasan province, and the Taliban. You know, I think the bigger story here, John, isn't this commander and who was he, but, you know, this is part of the Taliban. They're trying to convince the world that they are the reliable counterterrorism partner in Afghanistan because they target the Islamic State. They do it not because of world security. As a matter of fact, if the Taliban and the Islamic State weren't enemies, they'd have no problems with Islamic State fighters operating from Afghanistan. But they're trying to show the world again that they are a reliable counterterrorism partner. Oh, and by the way, you should give us money to help for us to continue to suppress the Islamic State.
Bill, the confusion, and I go back to the evacuation of 2021, because that's again when the confusion came in. A ISIS member at Bagram, recruited by the Taliban, working with Al-Qaeda, to carry a suicide vest and kill Americans. Was that a one-off, or is that still a story? Taliban here in 2024 boasting that they've killed a ISIS commander. And in 2021, they're recruiting ISIS.
Yeah, so we have to remember the origins of the Islamic State, which is in Afghanistan and Pakistan, which are disaffected members of the Afghan and Pakistani Taliban, as members of groups like Al-Qaeda, the Islamic movement in Uzbekistan, a large portion of them defected to the Islamic State. But they all have connections. A lot of them, you know, from same families within the two groups or the opposing groups, they operated together. So there's times where they'll put their differences aside and cooperate. And I believe that the Abbey Gate bombing was one of those times. The people, the Haqqani fighters, which were part of Badri 313, which are, again, a Taliban special forces, they have suicide units. They know what suicide bombers look like. They know, you know, this is a network of people. The individual that conducted that attack came from a jail in Bagram. And the Taliban knew who this was. There's just no way that he gets through without either the Taliban either facilitating it or just plain looking the other way. And there's other instances where this has occurred. At the end of the day, humiliating the United States on its way out the door from Afghanistan helps both the Taliban and the Islamic State. That's an area that they could agree on, even if the Taliban is going to target Islamic State leaders and vice versa. You know, you have this strange, you know, relationship, but it's, if you follow these issues, as long as folks like you, John, and Hussein and myself, you start to realize that this is really how they operate. It's not surprising.
Mr. Ambassador, a quote from the Pakistan Defense Minister, Asif, about the Taliban. We won't serve them with cake and pastries. If attacked, we'll attack back. I mention this because the presumption over the last two decades has been that Pakistan finds a way of working with the Taliban of Afghanistan. At the same time, Pakistan is challenged by the Taliban of Pakistan. Has that understanding changed here with this hostile remark from the Pakistan Ministry of Defense?
Well, the bottom line remains that most people in Pakistan's military establishment still think that the Taliban are Taliban controlling Afghanistan is better than a pro-India republic controlling Afghanistan. There will be problems like this, partly because the Taliban have a worldview. They have an ideology. This is something Pakistanis knew, should have known. That ideology means that those who are ideological people with an ideological affinity to the Taliban on the Pakistani side will receive support from Afghanistan. And that is what is irking Pakistan at the moment. This is a relationship which will have all of this stress and strain. But we must remember Afghanistan needs Pakistan very much because Afghanistan is landlocked and Pakistan is its access to the sea. And it's necessary for all trade and all communication and relating to the rest of the world. On the other hand, the two countries are very close because of a shared ethnic group that overlaps both countries. So there are. So this is very complicated. Pakistan will complain. The Taliban will complain. Pakistan will not get what it wants. The Taliban won't get what they want. But they will continue to cohabit for what they both see as their respective interests.
And final 30 seconds, Mr. Ambassador. Is Al-Qaeda, the fact that Al-Qaeda training camps exist in Afghanistan, is that an issue for the defense ministry?
I hope that it is, but Pakistan has made wrong choices on this score before. They could be making a wrong choice again. Remember, Osama bin Laden ended up in Pakistan not by just coincidence, but because many people turned a blind eye to Al-Qaeda in Pakistan in the years immediately after 9/11, as well as for many years before.
Hussain Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. Bill Rajo, a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies. He and his colleagues keep the Long War Journal. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor,